My name is Paul, and I'm a comic book geek.
My name is Hugh, and I'm an all-purpose geek.
My name is Corbs, and I'm a sports geek.
My name is Jack, I'm a history geek.
This is Geek Pod.
Welcome to this very special edition of Geek Pod Live.
Sorry.
From the Merry Geekin' Christmas Party at Cloud City Comics and Toys.
Well, that works perfectly.
I'm your host, Paul.
I'm Hugh.
And I'm Corbs.
He's the guy coughing.
I'm the guy coughing over here.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
I feel like I was just here.
Because you were. I don't think you've left.
No.
Hopefully this gets released in order.
Yeah, hopefully.
That's all up to the asshole that does the editing and only shows up for half the shows now. I said half. It's me, Corbs.
Yeah. Okay. I show up every 6 months.
If I wasn't having so many issues with the Audacity the other night, and if we'd had internet, I was going to try to edit that all together and put the intro and outro on there for you and surprise you and put it up, but then everything fell apart.
Would that have been my... See, this is what happens. See, this is what happens when I'm not here. Everything falls apart. You heard him say it.
Agreed.
Yeah. Well, yeah, basically. I mean, you know, I couldn't fix the problem with Audacity. Hopefully it's going to.
Hopefully it's fixed.
We're watching it. It seems to be working all right. Corb, say something while we're
both talking.
I just said something.
Okay. So we're all going to try and talk at the same time?
Yeah,
always.
That seemed to be what was happening the other night.
And then it would just go kapoop.
Yeah, it would stop.
Okay, I'm assuming you referenced this on the episode.
I did reference it on the episode.
No, and because we all know that I'm me. I haven't bothered to listen to the other episodes because I wasn't on it.
Well, you know, it would help to know what's going on, but I suppose if you'd like cliff notes, I can start putting them together for you, Your Majesty.
No, that's all right. So, Christmas. Let's do that. Let's do Christmas.
So, we are currently at Cloud City Comics and Toys in the Shopping Town Mall for the Merry Geekin' Christmas Party, and there's some stuff going on today, Paul. I think you actually have the details about some of those.
I do have some deets.
Yeah, give us some deets.
I like deets.
I'm here.
I like deets.
Beets? I don't like beets. Beets are gross. No, not beets.
Red beets lead to poop scare.
I think they're overpriced.
Yeah.
I don't like
isn't everything these days.
Yeah, that's true. Everything's overpriced.
Anyway, so what do we got going on? We got hanging out with us here in the store right now. Members of the Gathering of the Sabres, good friends of ours.
Yes, and it's always great to see them.
Yes. I'm going to go ahead and just say that's my personal security squad at this point.
Yeah.
It's getting so tiring just being constantly mobbed for autographs.
Yeah.
And being, hey, you're Paul, you were on K-Rock, you're the Geek Pod guy. You know, it's getting a little old, and I really would appreciate a little bit of space.
You can actually sign your name.
I get people to do that for me now. So,
gotcha.
I mean, that's how these things work.
No, I can
again,
see that.
And let's see, again, with the photographs happening already. You want me to sign that one for you, too?
You know, Paul, that's,
she gave
that's
you a salute.
Person taking the picture.
Did I approve this?
You approved this message?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Oh,
wow.
That was before. Things are different now.
Yeah, I hope you're not mistaking, you know, autograph requests for I'll get a restraining order if you don't back off. I mean, just to make sure we're clear.
Who's the restraining order for? Paul or the fans?
There's only so many I can put out. Okay, I get you.
Yeah,
that's cute.
Listen to this guy.
Okay, so anyway, how do we normally? Gentlemen, what's got you geeked?
Well, I am pretty geeked about something that premiered yesterday. I don't know if anybody's aware of this, but season 2 of Amazon's Man in the High Castle premiered yesterday. Fantastic show based on a story by Philip K. Dick.
You're pausing for Jack to
I'm
giggle,
pausing for somebody
here.
To giggle, yeah.
Jack's not here.
Basically, if you're not familiar with it, it's an alternate history take and basically what happens is World War II was won by the Germans and the Japanese, and the United States are now occupied. The from like the Rockies east is the German area, and from the Rockies west is the Japanese Pacific states. And
okay, I remember us talking about this last year.
And what's interesting is that there's somebody called the Man in the High Castle who keeps releasing these films, which of course the Germans and the Japanese are all after, that show a history where they lost the war, almost like our history. Nobody knows what's going on. Are they just propaganda? Is somebody creating them? Now, I'm going to give Amazon some props, because the first season, they never promised that you'd see the Man in the High Castle. He was kind of, you know, you didn't even know if he really existed. They said that we were going to see him this season. They didn't hold back. Very first episode, you finally meet the Man in the High Castle. Don't really completely understand everything. I don't think we're supposed to at this point. I've watched the first two episodes. But it's kind of nice, you know. It's not like they said, you know, spent an entire season saying, hey, somebody's going to die at the end of the season, and then at the end going, oh, no, actually, we're not going to tell you till next year. They said we were going to meet the Man in the High Castle, and we met him, very first episode of season two. So far, it's been great. Looking forward to watching the rest of it. Really, really good show. If you haven't checked it out, you really should.
And that's Amazon exclusive. You probably have to have Prime or whatever, right?
Correct.
Is that how it works?
Correct.
Okay. Very cool. I don't have that one yet. I may have to invest in that. And
if you order enough stuff from Amazon, it's worth it.
Nice. Well, I don't unless it's Christmas time.
Well, how much have you paid in shipping this Christmas?
No idea.
If it's over, like, say, $100, then it's worth it.
I'll have to remember that.
All right.
What's the matter? The sunglasses a little too much for you?
It's just I don't want to be obscuring this.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Your future's not that bright, huh?
Oh, the future's bright, my friend. The future is very bright.
So what's got you geeked?
Well, since I haven't been here in a while, the one thing that's got me geeked is...
He's going for the cop-out. Do it. No, I'm just teasing. Go.
Did you say whip my cock out?
Let's talk.
There's little kids around.
Here's...
No, for
didn't expect that out of him.
That's like an Andrew comment.
Yes.
For me, obviously, it's going to be the Cubs. Cubs winning the World Series.
Oh yeah, thing that happened.
Something to be honest with you, something I would never thought I would see in my lifetime. I mean, the Cubs for the longest time were the doorstop of the league. I mean, they were horrible. 108 years since the last time they won it. They won it this year. Congratulations to them. So that's what's got me geeked is just the fact that I was actually able to see that a part of history. I mean, I explained it to my 9-year-old that, you know, my father and even my father's father had never seen that.
Right, this is history.
This is history being made, and it was nice to see. I watched game the whole of Game 7. I didn't watch much of the World Series this year, a couple of little bits here and there, but when it came down to Game 7 with the Cubs and the Indians both looking to try to end their championship droughts, they both are, you know, Cubs are 108. The Indians were like 75 or 76 years since they both had won it. So one of those two teams were going to end their drought after Game 7. So Game 7 was nice to watch, and it was everything that it was made to be. I mean, it went extra innings. Both the closers pitched. They both didn't pitch well. It came down to some unknown guy that needed to step up and be the man, and it happened. So to watch that and see that history and watch them celebrate on the field, it was nice. So
they're totally going to make a movie about that.
I guarantee it.
It's probably already in pre-production.
Yep, exactly. I guarantee it. I would say probably within the next 2 or 3 years, you'll see a movie about it. So Disney movie or something like that. You know, somebody will pick up the rights to it and, you know, go about how it, you know, they went from being a good team in the early 1900s, last time it was 1908, stuff like that. So you'll see that. You'll see a movie about it. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
So.
Probably within the year.
I would say I wouldn't say year. I would say because, you know, it's going to take a while. But I mean, it's all documented. So I mean, you know, there's not much writing that's got to be done. It's, you know, what's going to happen. You know how it happens. You know all this other. All the other crap that went along with it. I mean, there's so much history with that, with them winning it this year. There's so much history with them. They had some good teams and stuff like that, and something happened, and they faltered, and this, that, and the other thing. So that's what's got me geeked. It's just the fact that I was actually able to witness history. So,
what sport is he talking about again?
That's the one where they hit the little white ball with the bats. Kind of the thing that Negan uses.
Okay.
Minus the barbed wire.
Yeah, they don't let you have barbed wire on the real ones. I don't know, but that would make the dream. And you should get to carry it around the bases, and you can just hit people on the way by.
That would be kind of fun. That would make the game a lot.
I would watch that.
That would make baseball even better.
Yes, yes it would.
Would make baseball good.
See, I actually enjoy watching the Sox play now and then.
Sox?
Speaking of the Red Sox. By the way, you're welcome.
Did he give you Red Sox for Christmas?
Nope.
What
he gave you a pitcher hood. Have you not looked at anything sports related in the past 6 weeks?
No.
Okay. Well, the Red Sox traded Chris Sale.
Yeah.
To the Red Sox.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, there you go.
Jacked up here. No, actually, I'm so far out of the loop, man.
Yeah, that's
so far out of the loop on anything other. If it doesn't revolve around my tiny little microcosm, I'm kind of not in it at all.
Well, you call that tiny? Because I was totally expecting you to come in here wearing a T-shirt that said "Making Podcasting Great Again."
Oh, I am so adding that to the web store. No, my next purchase from the web store is going to be the phrase that was coined on my appearance on K-Rock, and that's the hashtag pod whore. That is a shirt that I'm going to be rocking.
Is that you?
That's me. I'm the pod whore, yeah.
I missed that one on the show. How did I miss that one?
I don't know. How did you miss that? You guys should have been riveted to the radio when I was on there.
I don't actually own a radio.
And I only have a radio in my car.
Wait, what?
I only have a radio in my car.
Oh, they said I don't have a radio in my car.
I listened to you on the way to work. So. You didn't really speak that much. When I heard you speak, it was kind of like this. And
everybody's a critic.
Wait, next time, everybody said it was fantastic, Paul. That's what you keep telling me.
Don't get me wrong. You did well.
I was fantastic.
If I could hear you.
When I was able to talk, yes. It was still their show. I couldn't just take
no,
over.
No. You just need to take the fuck over.
As much as... Have we even discussed this on the show yet? Like, the whole K-Rock thing?
I know we discussed it a lot
off mic.
Oh, the historian just chimed in. The archiver. And said that... You said no, so...
Okay.
Go for it.
Well, wait a minute. Before we get into that, what's got you geek, dickhead?
Let's go with that. My star...
Wait, what?
I'll use that then. My star rising in the community here.
All right.
The community here?
Not like right here in the comic shop, because all we're doing is being ignored by the guy with the magic cards right now. I was just waiting for something.
It's early. It's early days.
It is. And I've had too much to drink already. Yeah. I was just going to leave it way too much to drink and make them wonder on that one. So the Legion knows we had Josh Grossfent from K-Rock on our show. Then he had us at the Zombie Ball as guests, and we had him on our show again. Well, he decided to return the favor, and I got to do a guest spot on the show on K-Rock. I was on for over an hour, I think.
I listened to you for a half, so.
Okay. It's a good time. They had me in. It freaked me out a little bit. Excuse me. That's fantastic.
Stop drinking.
No, that would take the fun out of all of this. That's at the core of it. That's what it comes down to. They're friends of the show. You don't have to raise your hand.
I gotta raise my hand. It's what I do. So you were at the Zombie Bowl.
I'm being interviewed now. This is awesome. Yeah.
So you guys were at the Zombie Bowl.
We were.
I saw pictures of that.
Mm-hmm.
Were you guys doing? Were you podcasting from there?
Yes, 6 episodes.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I believe it was.
Look, I don't listen to... I sit on the show and I don't listen to it.
That's the thing. And he said this from the beginning. He has never listened to the show.
Never listened to an episode. So, not one.
Even after we told him that Gary was basically calling him a fat ass and trying to push him up the stairs when he wasn't on, he still didn't even go back and listen to that one.
Nope. No, I don't... No, it's... It's been proven that I don't listen to the show. I saw pictures and everything. I saw you guys were there and all that stuff. I was a little jealous, but that's okay. I haven't been around.
Why were you jealous?
Because I've been around.
You were jealous because you hadn't come around.
Right.
How is that our fault?
It's not your fault.
You shouldn't be jealous. You should be disappointed in yourself.
Guys, it's Christmas. Knock it off.
Well, I was disappointed in myself, and I went home and I punched myself.
Okay, that was a little more than I was looking for.
And there's never an excuse for violence at home, okay? That's not
I didn't punch anything else. I punched myself.
That's still violence at home.
What if I wasn't at home when I did it?
It doesn't matter how you spin it.
What if I wasn't at home when I did it?
Violence still isn't the answer.
What's the answer?
You can't win this one. We won't let you.
Well, it works for Negan.
So, yes, it does.
Is that your role model? Hello.
Look, he's the king.
for now.
That's true.
So, Paul.
Easy.
Excuse me. I'm about to post a picture to Facebook up for everybody to see. And I just wanted to make sure, as per your instructions, you asked me to run every picture I post by you to make sure we get your good side.
According to Paul, they're all good.
He's in them, so you know.
That's the better one of the two.
That's the better one? Okay.
Did you get your good side? Did you touch your good side?
Not out here in public.
All right. Wait, I can't even do the whole that's what not what you said last night joke with that. So this is kind of falling apart. Let's take this. I got to post this up to Facebook, so... okay.
There you go.
All right. Yes, we're really good with this kung fu sign
language. Dude, you got a pen right there. Write me a note. Nice.
That's where we're at now.
Not using that pen now.
Right. So, I'm sorry. Continue your interview.
I was wondering if you guys had done a podcast from there.
Yes, we did six. No more judo chopping. The board's down here at least.
it's true.
We put out six episodes. We spoke with Josh.
Yeah, Polly.
We spoke with Polly. Griffin.
Griffin.
And then the other three were just us, right? Just talking. Yeah. Something about a black canary, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah.
There was a canary?
I think my favorite out of those, though, was probably, not to say anything, Josh is awesome, but Griffin used to come to my old phone store all the time and do radio remotes. So to actually sit down with him and chat in a situation where I wasn't working for somebody else or something like that, it was a different playing field. It was really cool to actually chat with him.
Now,
it was all a really cool night.
Okay, my next question, sir. Are you guys going to do more?
Is entirely up to Josh and Kira.
Okay, I didn't know maybe if there was something where, like, it was kind of a budding romance, I would say. Maybe a bromance.
See, you just took the line away from me. I would go ahead and say that there is maybe a minor romance happening with me and Josh and AJ. Would you say that's kind of accurate?
Actually, wouldn't that be a breesome?
A brosome?
A brosome.
I don't know how to go with that, but yeah, I guess so. But is that accurate? I mean, they've definitely become friends of the show.
Yes.
They're definitely buddies now. And, I mean, we've discussed this before, and this is still going to happen. AJ is dying to come on Fist of Khonshu, the Moon Knight show that you and I do, because he's a huge Moon Knight fan as well.
All right.
Super, super smart dude, by the way.
Yeah?
AJ, oh my God, yes.
Yeah, I can't wait to meet him.
He's great.
And the only reason I'm asking is, obviously, I listened to when you were on the show, because you had mentioned that you could be on there, but I listened to that show every morning on the way into work.
You mean inundated everyone and everyone around me? Yeah.
With text messages upon text message, and, hey, listen to the show. Listen, I'm going to be on. Listen to the show. Listen. At one point, I wanted to say, shut the fuck up.
Like you wouldn't be doing the same thing if something cool happened to you.
I would let you know. I wouldn't know.
How do you really know that? Has anything cool ever actually happened to you?
He's sitting with us, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. Does everybody know that you sit with us? That you are part of a podcast? He probably hides it. I bet he hides it.
Oh, no. I fucking tell everybody.
Well, then there you go.
I tell everybody.
You're welcome.
No. They all know. I school everybody.
So, Christmas, are we back with... I hate people. Seriously.
Tell them to stop.
Okay.
I have to take this.
Okay. Okay. All right. So I guess that moving on from there, we can jump into the news.
Okay.
A lot of stuff has happened since we've sat down. I was only able to pick a couple things, the most recent stuff, but if there's anything that you've heard about, please bring it up, just so we can make sure we talk about it. But anyway, going on, since Marvel won't be asking him back anytime soon, the former 10th Doctor, who David Tennant, has been revealed as the voice of Scrooge McDuck in Disney's reboot of DuckTales coming in 2017. Now, I'm pretty excited about this, only because I love the DuckTales. My 5-year-old loves DuckTales. I was wondering who they were going to get to do the voice, considering Ed Asner, the original voice of Scrooge McDuck, died earlier this year. David Tennant is certainly an interesting choice. If you've ever actually heard him speak, well, on Doctor Who, he used an English accent. That was not his actual accent. He is Scottish.
Nice.
And he sounds very Scottish. when he speaks. So, yeah, when he was the current doctor, I remember seeing the first interview with him outside of the show, and I was like, what the fuck is he saying? You know, I mean, I couldn't understand a word he was saying because it was a very heavy accent. So I'm fairly certain that he's at least going to get the sound right, and the guy's certainly an amazing actor. So that's pretty exciting.
Now, wait, is it going to be a TV show again?
TV show again.
Okay. Yes. All right. I was wondering, because nowadays, I mean, everybody's like, oh, they're doing a reboot of this, and you may, I immediately think they're going to be doing a reboot of a movie. And I remember DuckTales from when I was a teenager. I think that's when that was out for me and stuff like that. But, you know, I do remember it, and I was a fan of it, too. So I just was wondering if it was going to be a movie, if it was going to be a TV show.
It's going to be a TV show on Disney. You know, they're kind of just bringing it back for a new generation, which is kind of interesting because we got our 5-year-old into DuckTales. And before we even knew they were going to be doing the reboot. So, I mean, I got her Scrooge McDuck last year for Christmas and all that. And now we find out that, you know, it's going to be a thing again. So, I'm really excited about that.
Okay.
All right, so next up.
All right, I'm back. What did I miss?
The news.
Okay. Keep going.
Still no Rob the Robot. The NES Classic Edition is starting to pop up at GameStop starting yesterday again. So if you're interested in it, you definitely have to be on the lookout because they're in short supply. Now, if you cannot find one at a GameStop, and I have been told by insider sources, meaning the internet, that there's no pattern to how they're releasing. Some stores are getting them, some aren't. You need to keep calling. It's kind of a, you know, you got to show up there to get it. Now, starting on December 20th, Best Buy is going to have it available in limited quantities. They're going to treat it like a Black Friday special, first come, first serve. You may have to get in line before the store opens if you're interested in getting that because it's not going to be available for very long. Yeah, considering the first one sold out just about immediately, if you want one of these, plan on being there. Next up, because replacing a strong female character with a man is always a good idea, guess what? DC has revealed a new Oracle this week. Oracle was originally a character who was kind of the glue that held... I don't want to say the glue. Held the DC Universe characters together by being the eye in the sky, giving them all of their information, their intel, things like that. And that character was Barbara Gordon, the former Batgirl who'd been shot by the Joker and was in a wheelchair. Well, DC's rebirth has taken her back out of the wheelchair. Apparently, she was only in it for a few years. Some amazing spinal surgery gave her the ability to walk, and she's Batgirl again. Now, taking away the fact that a lot of people are upset about that anyway, because she was an incredibly empowering person. She was disabled and a woman, and Batman couldn't work without her. You know, she was, and even the Justice League, you know, used her all the time. Just to get it back to a status quo where she's Batgirl. They've now revealed the new Oracle. And his name, and I have to look at this because it's not even a character I'm familiar with, is a Birds of Prey fanboy named Gus Yale. It's a guy. He's been collecting Batgirl-related items like old Batarangs and her old glasses from before she had LASIK, things like that. A little creepy.
Yeah, I'll probably go there. That sounds so creepy.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad enough what they did to the character and now to do something like this. I don't know. I mean, why DC? Are you on drugs again? I mean, is that why we're potentially getting a rebirth of Superman Red and Superman Blue next year? Did you see that?
I did see.
No idea what's going on there. Last up, wait, Megan Fox is still acting? The now titled Gotham City Sirens about Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn and some other Batman female villains apparently was rumored that they might be looking at Megan Fox to play Poison Ivy. Now, this is just rumor. It's not too far into maybe a possibility. This is all based on the fact that some comic books were delivered to her that are relevant to the role. Now, first off, who is watching Megan Fox's mail and knows what comic book she's getting? I mean, is that a thing? You know, and if they are, I want to know, does she get all the AARP bullshit that I get that I'm still too young for? I mean, does that happen to everybody? Because I don't know. I don't look in anybody else's mailbox. So how do we even know this? Second of all, you know, I have to say, I mean, while she certainly has a place, you know, as an actress, she's not the most amazing actress, but, you know, they need people to play the young, hot girlfriend who's kind of vacant and stupid. They eventually need the formerly young and hot, now middle-aged housewife, you know, someday for TV shows and things like that. There's a place in Hollywood for her, and I'm not putting her down in any way. But if they're remotely considering her for the role of Poison Ivy, their main concern has to be her boobing ability.
Yes.
Because I don't think that there's anything else there.
Yeah, that's got to be it.
And that's the news, kids. Now finish up those posters for your class president run before you're hacked by Russia, or do you want everybody to know why you really won't use the showers after gym? Paul?
It's the micro-penis thing.
Oh, yeah. I'll put it right there. I can certainly understand that. Now, we seem to have another guest here.
Yes, it looks like we have a Mandalorian here. He's in the middle of a photo shoot at the moment.
Well, we can move on. So, that's the news. What else do we have going on today?
I believe we're
going
to move right into some of the Christmassy homework assignment that I gave up.
Homework.
I
stopped going to school.
Yeah. How did that work out for you?
Never works out. Every time I come here, I got a homework.
Yes.
Well, I think I stopped coming.
Right. But you keep coming back.
It's because you keep inviting me.
I didn't invite you.
No, the boss did.
You know, he really doesn't need that ego stroking right now.
Not stroking his ego.
He might need that, but that's none of my business.
So...
I love the way you just
Christmas
kind of,
time.
Like, fuck it, I don't care.
Just let it go. Christmas time. We all watch TV because that's what everyone in America does now. What movie is your go-to movie at Christmas time to watch? Doesn't have to be a Christmas movie. It has to be just your yearly go-to every year. Like, it is a staple at Christmas time. Got to get it in during the Christmas season. Corpse, go ahead.
All right, well...
Oh, and why?
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 I didn't get a why. I got a U.
I think it's not. So
there you go. My go-to is always we talked about it last year when I was from about 12 till I was about 22. You right there? Crack flashbacks. Crack flashbacks or something. back to it. My go-to is always going to be A New Hope. And it's cheesy because, you know, Rogue One just came out and all that stuff, but you can talk to my sister, you can talk to my brother.
You said there's photographic evidence of this as
yes.
well.
Yes. You can talk to anybody in my family. There's pictures of us opening gifts, and in the background you can see Luke Skywalker, you can see Obi-Wan.
That's the best Christmas ever.
It was a staple. It was like 10 straight years.
In the background of your Christmas photos or on the TV?
On the TV.
Oh, okay. Because one of those would be far more disturbing than the other.
No, I'm sitting and in the background is the TV and there's Obi-Wan, okay. Obi-Ron Kenobi.
Mark Hamill.
Obi-Ron
Kenobi and Luke Starbucker.
Oh, that... I want to talk about Star Wars names, by the way. I don't want to step on you. Go ahead. Let me forget this.
Okay.
That was a staple, you know, but obviously it's Christmas time. You're going to watch Christmas movie, and you and I were talking about this before we went on the show. Christmas staple Christmas movies that you watch every Christmas. Christmas Vacation, it's a classic. It's been 27 years since it came out at the theaters. I heard that about 2 weeks ago on the radio. It's been 27 years was when it came out in Jeez. The theaters. If you can believe that, that makes everybody that has old. Seen it and know it old. I'm always a big fan of watching It's a Wonderful Life. It's a great movie. And then my always go-to at any time, there it is, I see it.
Isn't that crazy?
And then for me...
Screw you guys, I hope it flies up your nose.
That's a different story. For me, any Christmas movie that I watch on Christmas is I'm going to watch Die Hard and I'm going to watch Lethal Weapon. Because they're both Christmas movies, and I'm a huge, huge action fan. So I'm going to watch those movies. You can watch them anytime, but you're talking Christmas movies. Those two, for me, are it. So, text.
I'll take it here.
Yeah, go for it.
My favorite one to watch, and I mean, it's not exclusively at Christmas time because I watch this movie all year round. But I always do make time during the Christmas season for whatever reason because there's nothing that draws back.
Let me guess, is it Magic Mike?
No.
XXL.
Yeah, that's replaced it. No, it's actually Clerks. For whatever reason, it's always like catching back up with old friends. Like you go back.
Yep.
So I really have no other reason for it other than it's just it's like going home.
You can always go home again.
Yes, that's what they say. Except for there's that restraining order, my folks' house. So.
Yeah, well, there's ways around those.
Right, a break through a window. They usually does it for me. You.
Oh, this is a loaded topic for me.
Oh boy.
First of all, I do not like Christmas movies. And I know that wasn't the only thing it could be, but I do not like Christmas movies. And there's a reason for that. Because Christmas is great. Christmas, the season, the togetherness, opening gifts, having, you know, a big meal with family and all that stuff. That's all fantastic, and I love it. What I don't like is the fact that all of the TV shows I watch have to pause and stop and do a Christmas episode. Now, this is leans into Christmas movies because there are only a couple kinds of Christmas stories. Now, occasionally, someone will come up with a new idea. For instance, Millennium did The Curse of Frank Black was their Christmas special, and it was really good, and it didn't follow any tropes. But generally, it's a take on a Christmas story, or a Christmas carol, I'm sorry, or it's a take on a Christmas carol. That's really it. I mean, that's what we get.
Yeah, you get the same idea. Yeah.
Now, I pulled up a list of this yesterday on Wikipedia. Pretty much every single sitcom, every procedural, every hospital show, just about every show has done Christmas episodes. Also, most of the genre shows have. You might not know this, but things like X-Files, and I actually pulled up a list of a few of these. Supernatural's done it. Star Wars had a Christmas special one year.
Yes, I own that, actually.
There are so many.
Do you own that?
I do.
Now, Flash, Arrow, all of our shows have done Christmas specials. Now, what I hate about it is when they're going to do a Christmas Carol episode, this is what happens. They have to lead up to this halfway through the season. They have to get the main character to a point where they're feeling down and wondering if what they're doing is making a difference. And then apparitions from their past or people in their future or the bad guys, whatever, people have to convince them, no, you're here for a reason, blah, blah, blah. Actually, you know, it's a Christmas Carol or It's a Wonderful Life. That's what it ends up being. Now, first of all, I'm sick of seeing the same goddamn thing. Every single TV show stops and does that. Just like there's the other tropes. Every TV show stops and does the Mirror Universe version or the Red Kryptonite version of the character.
Yes.
It always happens. This bothers me because, first of all, how many storylines are different or story arcs over a season? The progression is different because they have to stop and make room for this.
Right.
At least once. Every show does it. The other thing is that not only now do I have a dearth of TV to watch over the Christmas holidays because all of the shows stop, you know, 2-3 weeks before Christmas. The weeks before that, I have a bunch of crap I've already been watching for the past 40 years.
Right.
It sours me on everything that's television or movie that's Christmas related. Now, on an interesting note, do you know what TV series has never done a Christmas-themed episode?
What's that?
And this is interesting because it's actually multiple series. Star Trek. None of their TV series ever did a Christmas-themed episode. Now, they've established that Christmas exists in that universe. There's mentions of, oh, this happened at a Christmas party, or things like that. So there is a Christmas in the Star Trek universe, but they never went along with that trope and said, hey, we're going to do a Christmas-themed episode. Now, I don't know if that was by design, or if it was the fact that that show, like a lot of others, like Xena and Hercules and Highlander, back when syndicated didn't mean you're on network program until you hit 100 episodes. Syndicated meant you actually made all the episodes and then sold them and had no control or idea when they were going to be shown.
Right.
So it made it very hard to do a holiday episode because you didn't know if that episode would actually pop up along the holidays. But, I mean, a lot of respect for not going down that road, especially considering that's what? Next Gen, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and Enterprise. That's 4 series, and they never went down that road.
It's
multiple
amazing.
Seasons. I mean, that's, what, how many seasons? 7, 14, I don't know. That's like 20-some-odd seasons of TV, and they never went down the same road.
Nice.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of a Grinch about TV and movies around Christmas time. There's nothing that I particularly like to watch. You know what I'd like to watch? The same crap I watch the rest of the year.
Right.
That's what
regular
I want to
episodes.
Watch. Yes. Sorry, I hope that didn't bring the Christmas spirit down, but
jump off the balcony.
I wasn't expecting that, but that was fantastic. I'm assuming, Corbs, you're probably going to sit this next topic out, and this is the Geek Pod Christmas Book Club. The comic book recommendations we typically do. I kind of charged Hugh with finding one that's Christmas themed, which I'm sure kind of needles him as well with the
just a little.
It's almost like I knew that. That's fantastic.
I have a feeling that if I told you that, you probably still would have given me the homework.
So. Yeah, probably. I'll probably still give it to you next year too. Just saying.
Wow.
The homework.
Wow. That's
is that what you said last night?
That's TMI. TMI.
You want me to lead this one off, or you want to
go ahead? I need to calm down.
Okay. So I chose something.
That's nice.
Yeah, I chose something. There, I'm done.
Hope it was something good.
It's Green Lantern, Volume 3, Number 109. It's called Ghost of Christmas Past.
Didn't see that coming.
What, the Green Lantern?
The Green Lantern?
Or Christmas Past?
Ghost of Christmas. It was going to be the Ghost of Christmas something.
Well, yeah, typically. I'm going to give you the synopsis first for the book, so you can
figure out
guess
it's Christmas-themed.
Yes. Jenny Lynn Hayden is Christmas shopping with her brother Todd Rice, who still is not fond of her close relationship with Kyle Rayner. But when Jenny listens to the words that Santa Claus says to some children, she has a sudden flashback from her childhood. She immediately changes into her Green Lantern costume, kidnaps Santa Claus, and takes him on top of a skyscraper. Takes him there, because the wording is a little weird. I mean, it could have turned into a whole different thing. Jenny knows the man is Stan, who was the janitor of the orphanage she was raised in. Okay, I don't know why, but obviously...
What happened to your reading skills, Paul?
They've gone away. Obviously, Stan sexually abused some girls there. Yeah, that's how it's written up. When he tried it with Jenny on a Christmas night, she exhibited her powers for the first time and was able to fend off Stan. Now, Jenny really wants to hurt Stan, but she restrains herself. She lets him go, but will watch over him so that he never comes close to another young girl.
That sounds like such an uplifting Christmas story.
I never said it was uplifting.
Sounds like it could be more than a
my take on it. For a Christmas issue, it's a pretty dark tale. It deals with serious issues, and it succeeds in evoking real emotion with the audience and me in particular. Just yet another example of why I love Ron Mars's work so much on Green Lantern. I remember when that issue came out on the stands. It was shortly after I started reading Green Lantern again, when I found my way back into comics.
Okay.
So it was. I still have this issue at home. Very important. Very, very important. So...
And I think we might have a guest.
I see.
Should we put the comic book recommendations on hold and bring her over?
I think that is a great idea, and we'll just move up our Escape the Estate talk.
Yeah, we might as well. Also, just as an FYI, we may need to take a time out here shortly for just a few minutes.
Okay.
Because Lana is arriving.
Oh, nice.
But I have to go outside and meet her, so. I mean, come on, it wouldn't be Christmas. Actually, it would be Christmas without her. But, well, you know, here's the thing. I'm betting that, you know, between her makeup and her hair, there'll be something Christmas-themed going on.
Right. She may look like the Grinch, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. All right, and now we're excited about this, because we got to do something really, really cool this morning that we haven't actually, we didn't put out there in public. We wanted it to kind of be a surprise. But today, we got to do the 30-minute Christmas-themed Escape the Estate Room at the Shopping Town Mall. And that was a blast. That was really a blast. And we have Susan here, who is... Actually, you know, are you proprietor? What is your position there?
I'm the manager.
The manager, okay. She's the manager at Escape the Estate. We actually met her at the K-Rock Zombie Ball. Actually, I should say you met her and then threw me at her to get the details and figure out what's going on.
Thankfully, I missed and she was not injured.
Yes, because, you know, I'm a big guy. Yes. When I hit things, they usually break. But Susan, how are you today?
I'm good.
You look very warm.
I am. I'm wearing a very long, fuzzy sweater. Like I said earlier, like wearing a blanket.
You know, you think you could just curl up in that and go to sleep.
Yes.
That's what it looks like. So we, all three of us, got to do the Escape the Estate.
Yes, we did.
I don't know if we should talk about it, or if you want to talk a little bit about the history and how that all came together.
Okay, well, basically, an escape room, for people who don't know, because to a lot of people it's still kind of an unknown quantity out there. An escape room is basically a live-action adventure game. It's kind of like being in a Scooby-Doo mystery on your own. So you solve riddles and puzzles. There's clues that are given to you. You have to find secret passages, hidden doors, hidden little spots where we hidey things, and all kinds of cool stuff. And you have, like the room you did today was a half hour. You had a half hour to figure out how to solve everything to escape the room. We also have 2-hour-long attractions, which have multiple rooms. And we do have a 15-minute attraction as well for those people who just want to kind of check out an escape room without committing to a full hour out of your life. So.
Well, you know, I think that that's probably a good gateway for them. Exactly. And letting them know. You said the 15-minute one was how much?
The 15-minute one's only $10 a person.
Okay, so you're at the mall. You're not sure what to do. Maybe you're going to go see a movie, but you got here early, had lunch, you have some time. You know, $10. You're spending more than that on the movie ticket, probably.
Definitely. Oh, definitely. If it's me, you're definitely spending more than that at the concession stand.
Yeah. Yeah. So, twice that at the concession stand.
Oh, easily.
Yeah. Now, you know, what I came away from this, first of all, was incredibly detailed. I mean, you feel immersed when you go into this room. And you did, I can say that you allowed us to look at some of the other rooms. We didn't participate in those, but all of them, very immersive. I mean, it was like you were there. And
yes.
Well, you really are there because it's an actual room. This isn't a video game. You're actually in a room that
you're interactive. I mean, you're actually in the room. You're going through the puzzle. You're trying to figure things out. You can go come as a group. It'd probably be better to come as a group as opposed to being like one or two people. For three people, even for us, the three of us, it seemed we had a couple times where we got stuck, and it was fantastic because you get stuck and then you start trying to think about things and all that stuff. So it was very well done and very interactive for us as a group. If you guys don't disagree with me, let me know. I mean, between the three of us, I think we had a good time in there.
Oh, I had a blast. Yeah. I had a blast. It was so much fun.
And you know, it was interesting because even though there was a time limit, unlike some other similar things that we've done in the past, it didn't, because it was in a room rather than, you know, moving around from place to place at a very fast speed, I felt like I had time to think, even though there was a clock clicking down. It was a very different experience.
Yes. I agree. And the other things you kind of feel like you're being pushed through.
Yes.
Yep.
And I didn't get that vibe with this at all, which I think makes it creepier.
Yeah.
Because they throw you into it.
Yep.
And it makes it better because you do have time to like to have your inner sleuth show up and come out, I guess.
Well, you know,
embrace it.
I guess to say, because I don't want to, because we're friends with some of the other attractions.
Oh yes, yeah, we're definitely not trashing them.
But you know, at no point during our experience at the mall, should I say the name?
You can say it. As long as it doesn't offend.
So. Yeah, I did not get down on the floor on my back to look at things.
Right.
You know, it was. You know, we really had to look for stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to look for the clues.
Actually, now that I think about it, I feel like I spent an awful lot of time on my knees in that room. Maybe that's why I hurt so bad.
There were a couple times you were down on your knees.
Yeah.
But, no, and I love Five Wits. Like I said, I've played all of their games and played them multiple times, and I'm not always successful at them either. But, I mean, we are just a very different experience. Kind of like when you were talking about it being, there are a lot of escape room video games, and that's how most people are familiar with escapes. And kind of the way I like to think of it is, with escape games on the computer, you're moving your mouse around and you're clicking on things, and that's how you find things or open doors or whatever. In our games, your hands are the mouse. So your hands are the pointers. You, instead of clicking on things, you have to actually touch things and manipulate things to make things happen. So it is. It's kind of like you have become the game. You're part of the game. The game can't exist without you in the room. So and we, those of us who act there, we all love it. It is so much fun. You get to really interact with people. You get to really see how different minds think different things. I mean, I've had people figure things out in the room by looking at it in a way that I myself, as one of the creators, has never even thought of.
Nice.
You know, I mean, like, I watch these things being built. I know all of these puzzles by heart. And there's room 14 has been open since February. 2 weeks ago, we had a group go in there and figure out a clue by using something I've never seen anyone use in that room to figure that out before, that actually wasn't part of how you figured it out, but they read into something in a way that they figured out a clue I'd never even thought of it. And I was just amazed. I was just like,
wow.
You still, the way people think changes the experience for everyone. So your game becomes personal to you.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's very cool.
We're getting a hello from across the room. That's funny.
Oh, that is funny. But distracting.
Yes.
So,
yeah. We're warming the bench, right? All the cool kids are starting, and we're just sitting
up there.
That's okay.
Jason Randall's here.
Yeah,
it's okay.
So, what are the hours? When can people come by and see?
We are open Wednesday through Sunday. We're pretty much open, let's see, we open at 11 o'clock on Wednesday through Saturday, and we go until the last show is over, which is around, our last show will be starting at 8:45 if it's booked.
Okay.
On Sunday, we open at noon, and we go, our latest show runs until 8:30, so it begins at 7:30. So you can always book online. That's our hour-long attractions and our half-hour attraction. We take bookings online. We can take walk-ins if those times are available. Particularly for the hour-long one, I recommend booking online, especially on the weekends, because we will sell out those times.
Yeah.
The 15-minute, we take walk-ins all the time. We don't even do booking online, because even if someone has just started, the most you have to wait for it is 15 minutes.
That's cool.
And kind of same thing with the half-hour room. We can easily take walk-ins for the half-hour room, because, again, you don't wait very long. So.
Now, you also said that the 30-minute one was the Christmas one that
yes,
we did.
Yes.
You said that one when we were talking. You said that one will change with the seasons.
Yes,
so
yes.
So
that one's always going to be a seasonal one.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So she said after the new year, they're going to take that one down, and they're going to do a Valentine's one.
It'll be Valentine's based. Right. After that, it's I think St. Patrick's Day is the next thing, and then yeah. Easter. So we'll constantly be updating that room, all new puzzles to keep in whatever holiday theme is going on at the time.
So that's cool. So even if you come and do the one, if you come back, say, 2 or 3 weeks later, it may be a different attraction.
Yeah, it'll be different with different puzzles and a different theme.
Which is very cool. Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Now, what I want to know is how long does it take you to reset your most complicated room?
The most complicated room is actually the room that's been open the longest. And we've pretty much got that reset down to under 10 minutes.
Wow.
That's awesome.
And that's with having everything in the room torn apart. Actually, whenever I train a new actor, I have the other actors go into the room and just trash the place. I mean, they'll hide things in ways that customers almost never do. Customers will do it. They'll take a lock from one thing and put it on another thing that actually has a different lock on it. So you have to make sure when you're resetting that what you're locking on there is actually what's supposed to go on there. we tear it up on trainees and just make it as hard as possible. And once you can reset after that, I mean, then you're ready for bear. So.
Nice. Now, I would just like to point out, and I wonder if anyone else did this, because you actually stopped me. I was actually cleaning up behind myself.
I thought that was very cute.
She was like, "No, just leave it."
It was very. I actually in my head was like, "Aw, look, he's cleaning up. Isn't that sweet?"
Yeah, that's the dad in me coming out.
I was gonna say, someone trained you very well. Yeah. So
yes,
I actually have seen people do that. Actually, really good players, people with escape experience. A lot of times, what I see is they will pick a spot in the room. And this is more common in the hour-long rooms where there are a lot more puzzles going on. They will pick a spot in the room, and everything that they've used or solved, they will put over there. So they have like a used pile.
Nice.
So they know. So nobody is going around going, what's this key? Have we used this key? Is this key open? Anyone know? Did we use this code? You know, they have a pile where they put things. That's the closest anyone comes to cleaning up. I've never actually seen someone try and lock things back up for me the way you did today. So, you know what? I wasn't sure if you were bucking for a job or...
Well, I mean, how does it pay? I was just saying.
So, but, you know, again, you see all kinds of things. I couldn't imagine the things I've seen watching groups go through the rooms, the rules that we have had come up with. In fact, when K-Rock was in there playing, we actually came up with some rules because of K-Rock.
I believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So, I have a particular rule that I tell people about not tearing down the wallpaper or ripping up the carpet. That was based on K-Rock's experience, too.
Oh, my God. Okay, who was the ringleader on that one?
That was, is it Steve? Is it?
No, Steve.
No.
No, we know Josh.
I'm not even sure if it was the morning.
Joey. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
That was him. That was his group. He had a rowdy bunch.
I can see that with Joey. Joey brings that out in people anyway. So, Joey's the one that made the specific comment at the zombie ball. I don't want to repeat it again.
You can tell me off air.
Okay.
Not sure what you're talking about. We'll get there.
So, yeah. But... other than that, you know, I am so glad you guys came to play today, and I look forward to you guys coming back and doing one of the hour long ones or both of the hour long ones, you know.
We'd love to. We'd like definitely. To make an event out of it if we could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
set up, do a recording there so we can run right back afterwards and do our immediate reactions.
Yeah, because we did. We had a whole bunch of other stuff going on today, and so it was next on the list, wasn't it? Where's the list?
Keep talking while I get it back up. It's coming up. I think it was up after the...
After the books.
Yeah, after books, we were going to start talking about it anyway. Okay. So that was perfect time.
Well, no, this is great because I'm glad you got to get on mic and talk about it. It's always nice to... I mean, when we bring someone on, we want you to push your stuff. I mean, that's really what you're doing. You know, you're trying to push your stuff. We want to bring attention to you. That makes you a better friend to us. It's all about, you know, helping the community. I mean, that's kind of... I think we do a lot of that.
Yeah.
And...
local man.
Yeah.
That's what we try to do. Yeah.
We're all frozen here together, so we
pretty much
help each other out.
Yep. You know, I look at it this way. You know, Best Buy does not need help getting people to their stores.
No.
There are things like that.
Sure.
But there's a lot of really cool stuff here in Syracuse that nobody knows about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, for instance, now I'm going to show my ignorance here. I actually thought, this is what I thought. I thought Escape the Estate, you had a room out at Trail of Terror, which was not open all year round, but then you also had another location there, which is the rest of your location. It wasn't until last time we were here, and Paul takes me over. He's like, oh, yeah, we're going to see if Susan's here. I'm like, oh, Escape the Estate is down the road from my house? I had no... All this talk, I did not realize you were in the Shopping Town Mall.
Yeah.
And I've talked to you. We've talked about getting together and doing stuff, and I still never picked up on it.
Yeah.
How many other people have even less of an idea than I did?
Right. Yeah, which is a shame. Because, I mean, there should be a spotlight on it, because it's just an awesome, awesome experience.
Yes, it is.
I mean, and great people down there.
You can't get anywhere else.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's fun for the employees as well as, you know... Like I told you guys when we were down there, I have sent dozens, maybe even up to, you know, maybe over 100 people through the 15-minute escape experience at this point. Every single person that comes out of there is like, oh, my God, I got to book the hour long. I got to book an hour-long experience, you know. So it's not only, like, a job and just a fun job, you know, like it's... Obviously, it's better than flipping burgers. No offense to any burger flippers out there. But it's also, it's really cool to watch people get so excited about something to do. There's two experiences that I really loved, if I can take just a moment to share that. One was we had a dad and his son, they were on their way to somewhere else. And they saw us on TripAdvisor. And they came in because they just didn't have anything to do and they didn't want to sit in the hotel room all night. And they came in and they played and it was such a great bonding experience to watch between them because the son lived, I think, in Colorado and the father lived in Arizona. So they were obviously on a trip together. And it was really cool watching the father-son experience there. And they actually found some prize tokens and came back the next day and got to do the Christmas one for free.
Oh, nice.
So that was really cool. But I think my favorite story of all is we had two groups of people. There was a group of four and a group of three that had all booked the same experience, did not know each other at all. One was a couple of parents. They had their son who was moving here. They were from some state beginning with an M, I think. Might have been Massachusetts. But... their son was moving out here, and he had his parents and his sister with him to move him and his stuff out here. Didn't know anybody. He was moving out here for a job. The other was a couple of parents and their daughter, who was a little bit younger, I think, than the son that was moving out here. They took a few minutes at the beginning to get to know each other and everything. They all went in and played one of the hour-long experiences. When they got out, they were all great friends. They had a great time together. Not only that, but the couple that lived here was talking to the parents that were leaving their son here and said, hey, why don't we exchange information? That way, if your son needs anything, you know, we live here. We know where things are. We can lend a hand if he needs it, if he's stuck here by himself. And the other parents were like, you know, that would be so great to know that there's somebody out here watching out for our son.
That's awesome.
That was all brought together just by playing this game. So, I mean, it was really cool. It's so cool to watch, you know, the humanity go on in it.
That's amazing. So, that's great.
Yeah.
You must also get a lot of people who normally get along together that end up fighting, though. I would have to imagine. There's a flip side to
that. Usually that is married couples that I see. It's not really fighting as much as it is... what'd you do that for? You know, and kind of thing. Give me that, you know. But you do see a bit of that, but it's usually in pretty good-natured fun. I do remember there was one group of all women and one poor guy.
Oh, boy.
And it was like seven women and one guy. And by the end of it, I can't remember now, but I knew that guy's name by the end of it because they all kept going, like, Mike, what are you doing? Mike, get over here. Mike, hand me that, you know, so...
That's
I felt bad for poor Mike, but it was really fun to watch. I was just like, wow, this is either a very brave or a very stupid man.
Probably both.
Yeah, right? A little bit of both. So, but yeah, I think that's the coolest part, just watching the human interaction every day.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's really all we got. It was a great experience.
Yes,
I mean, if you
can't.
If you've got the opportunity, go check it out. I mean, right down to, you step into the parlor and the ambiance right there.
Yep.
Down to the dirt on the molding. Mm-hmm. You know, everything. I mean, it looks like an old hotel. I mean, there's so many little details that they didn't have to put there. And as soon as we came in and sat down, we were waiting for Paul. I was like, wow, this is really neat. This feels like the waiting room of an old, slightly past its prime hotel. This is neat. I don't know if you had a chance to really experience it.
I didn't get to really look around
too
much because I was the one that was rushing in late. So,
the cool thing about it is we were talking when we were waiting for Paul to show up. The 2-hour-long rooms, they're kind of combined. It's all based off the same thing along with the tomb one. The chamber. They're all kind of intermixed. The one that's not is the half hour when the change is periodically. So they're all intertwined. So if you do one, it would be cool to come back and do the other two. If you do the 15-minute one, then you said, oh, I'm going to come back to the hour ones, but you can do them both because it's all intertwined.
Yes.
It's all kind of based on the same...
So it's all like a running narrative? It's all the same?
It's all the Hotel Whitmore.
Hotel
Whitmore.
Okay.
Yes.
So I missed out on all of that stuff this morning.
It's a 1920s era during the Prohibition Hotel. So,
very cool.
And strange things go on in there.
My kind of place.
Strange things go on everywhere.
Yes.
So, I remember we had talked that you guys do book parties. So, if you're having you want to have a team building event,
we do corporate team building events. Just had a couple this week. We do birthday parties. We've done bridal showers. Adult birthday parties, kids' birthday parties, all kinds of things. So, yep.
Outstanding.
We are game for whatever you guys are game for. You know what I mean?
How can people get a hold of you, Susan?
You can check out our website, www.escapetheestate.com. You can just come see us at Shopping Town Mall. We're right across from the Regal Cinema, so we're pretty easy to locate. Just if you're standing at the movie theater, just peek behind the elevator, and there we are. Or you can like us on Facebook. And also, you can also see, a lot of times we're offering sales or contests for tickets on Facebook. So if you like our Facebook page, you never know, you might win free tickets, or you can see if we got any good deals going on.
Nice. That's cool.
And we're hoping this is just the beginning of a relationship between the two of us here. Not Susan and I.
You were looking at me when you said it, so I was a little creeped out.
I wasn't sure what relationship was going on there. But.
Specifically between Escape the Estate and Geek Pod. Let's put it that way. I mean, she's a lovely woman. I would not turn her down.
But we were talking about entities' relationships,
yes.
Not humans.
So we're clear.
Why does every single segment turn into this?
Yeah, so then I can say, and on that note.
Susan, it's been a pleasure having you here.
Thanks so much.
And thank you very much for the opportunity to check that out. Hopefully people listen to this and they're like, hey, you know what? I want to go check that out too because Paul said so.
Yes.
That's right.
Exactly.
And he should know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or you can just take my word for it.
She definitely has more experience with it. So you'll listen to her.
So, well, I look forward to seeing you guys back again. And you guys have a Merry Christmas. And
you too.
Thanks for
you
coming
too.
And playing today. And Merry Christmas to your many, many thousands of listeners out there. So, all right, you guys take care.
Bye.
I'll see you later. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right. Thanks again, Susan, for coming in. And back to our recommendation.
What recommendation?
Your comic book recommendation.
I have no idea what you're talking about. We were just talking about Escape the Estate. Okay, my comic book recommendation. You know, this is hard, again, just like the TV thing. I actually looked at a few different things to bring us my pick. And if you're going to go with a traditional Christmas story, and while this is a retelling of the Christmas Carol, at least it's done with a different spin. Batman Noel, written and illustrated by Lee Bergamo, is a pretty good book. Certainly takes the idea, it tells the story from one of Joker's goons' points of view. There's some redemption, there's, you know, Batman seeing different characters representing the different ghosts of Christmas, past, present, and future. It's a neat spin, but again, it's a take on the Christmas Carol, which I generally always dislike.
Yeah.
So if I had to say, you know, for now, my favorite Christmas, it's not even Christmas themed, but it would be Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale's The Long Halloween.
Nice.
Only because it covers, it's not just Halloween, it covers all of
it's
the
it's a year-long thing, right?
Yes. Tracking the killer holiday. And, you know, there's Halloween, there's Thanksgiving, there's Christmas, the whole kit and caboodle. And it's just a fantastic self-contained event. Well, I say self-contained except for the fact that they did a sequel, Dark Victory. But yes. Still, both of those books together are either one on their own. Amazing, amazing stories. And definitely worth a look.
Outstanding. I have not read that, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I tried the whole Batman thing. I'm just not super into Batman.
Well, you know, I mean, I've noticed that people who, you know, like prioritize Green Lantern over other characters tend to be a little off.
Way off?
Yeah, they have a self-inflated view of themselves.
I don't know people like that.
No?
No, not really.
You know, I guess I could bring this up, even though Corbs is not here with us currently. He had to step away for a second. I wanted to bring up Star Wars names. I mentioned that earlier.
Yes. Yes, you did.
Now, I don't know. Maybe I'm not getting something, but in the original Star Wars, we have Luke, we have Obi-Wan, which gets shortened to Ben, and we have Uncle Owen. We have three very normal names referenced in that movie. This means the concept of normal Earth names exists in the Star Wars universe. Now,
right.
As this universe expands, why the hell does everybody have a screwy name? You would think just by chance there'd be a Bob. There's got to be a lot of Stormtrooper Bobs. Why do they give them serial numbers? Give them the normal, boring names or something. You know, because everybody else, you know, after seeing Rogue One, I was like, these were all great. But like we said, we got here, we were talking about it, and I could not remember how to say the lead character's name. Jana, Jaina, Jella, what? It just kind of threw me off because everything about the name spelling is atypical. Am I missing some more characters, or is there really something going on there? Can you think of another normal named character?
I mean, doesn't Han? I mean, doesn't it have its roots in a normal?
Han?
Isn't that a
Han?
Name? I mean, I think it's an Asian descent name, but
it's Han.
Let's see who else. I'm trying to think if there are any other normal ones.
I don't think there are.
I'm even trying to think out into Rebels and stuff like that.
Everybody's got a wacky name. I mean, there's nothing wrong with wacky names, but you know if.
What happened to the normal names from the originals?
Yeah, because if it wasn't Luke Skywalker, if everybody had wacky names, it would be that's just the universe. But it's kind of like a couple people have those names. People from different... Well, I mean, I suppose Luke and Uncle Owen technically were from the same place. Maybe it's only maybe only Tatooine had normal names. I don't know.
That's possible. And it was Kenobi originally from Tatooine? Do we know or not?
I don't recall. I don't believe it was established. But they might have shortened it to Ben because he was there. I mean, maybe it's a Tatooine.
It was an alias, yeah.
You know,
which is kind of a shitty alias when he kept his same last name.
Well, no, not really.
If he was in hiding.
Well, I think didn't he reference that like he was related to the great Obi-Wan, but that wasn't him? Wasn't that kind of a thing?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So that kind of makes sense, but... No, I would think I would run into more normal characters' names, but you don't. You just don't.
I'm still racking my brain for any other normal Star Wars names.
Maybe the only one I can find. I just did
it. Oh, you found him? Yeah.
We're back on.
We're already back on. Yeah, we're discussing the Star Wars names.
Start without me.
That's what I do. As long as I'm here, that's what matters.
Dude, we've been starting without you most of this year.
No, beginning of the year I was pretty good.
Okay.
I don't remember.
I'm historian and I don't agree with that. Sorry.
How do you know? Oh, I thought we were going someplace else.
Oh.
But no, we finished up our comic.
Oh, okay, good. All right, good.
I'm guessing you don't have anything for that?
Dude, I don't read.
He didn't even say I don't read comics. He said I don't read.
I don't read.
I feel like I read the internet. Everything there is true.
Right. If it's on the internet, it must be true.
All right. Well, I believe that we were going to talk about the most disappointing Christmas gift we'd ever gotten, weren't we?
Yes.
Does this year count?
We were. What?
Does this year count?
No, because you shouldn't have gotten your gifts yet. It's not Christmas yet.
This is my gift.
But being here?
Yeah, having to deal with you.
That's not really a gift. But,
Is that a privilege?
I tend to disagree there. Putting up with you is a gift that I have. That's why I'm still here.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Why do you think I stopped coming, man?
Right? Me.
Exactly.
It's my overpowering personality, I know. It's hard to be in the glare of all this greatness. I get it.
Dude, stop leaning so far this way. You keep hitting me with your ego.
I don't think there's anyone around that in this room. So.
I'm glad you said ego.
Big room.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said ego.
Right. Which, oddly enough, is the pet name for my penis. Okay, so, and then, disappointing
gifts. Do you add Living Planet to the beginning of that?
Certain nights, yes.
That was a disappointing gift in itself right there, having to deal with that image.
So who wants to go first on this one?
I think we just went.
Our most disappointing gift was Paul's ego.
His ego.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure somebody has said that at some point.
I'm sure there's probably been a few.
Disappointed with your ego?
Yeah, with my ego. Yeah.
All right. I'll go ahead and start off here.
That's what she said.
The most disappointing Christmas gift that I generally have ever gotten is almost anything from my mother.
Okay. Now,
I do have something specific. Oh, you can talk about this too. By the way, Lana is here after a long hiatus. Say hello, Lana.
Hello.
Hello, Lana.
That's creepy.
Why? You said say hello, Lana.
I'm so short.
Because it's a shorter stand. Just a shorter piece of metal. That's all. we call that the Paul's ego microphone stand. Anyway, pretty much anything from my mother. The reason being, and I'm sure she has good intentions, but sometimes she re-gifts things or gives me things that...
You gave her the year before?
Well, you know, I'm surprised that hasn't happened, and we've actually considered giving her something back she gave us on purpose just to see if she'd notice, because there's never really any thought in it. It's, you know, if it's not a gift certificate or something, it's, and this is my example. Yesterday, I went down into the basement so that I could wash the vinegar smell out of my brand new GeekPod shirt that arrived in the mail yesterday, but Thursday.
Because, I saw it on your deck.
Yeah, because I wanted to wear it. To the Rogue One screening, and I opened it up right before I was getting ready to leave and realized that it smelled like vinegar because they used that.
From the process.
Yeah, process to make the shirt. So I was washing my shirt yesterday. I go downstairs, and I see this mystery box. Now, this box was with us at our old brick house. It came to this basement. It's still in the basement. I don't entirely understand what's in this box. I have an idea. I believe we might have opened it up once and kind of looked at it, and there are... metal standy things in big, giant, very thin glass, very breakable, globey things. And I think maybe you put the breaky things on top of the heavy metal sharp thingies and put burning thingies inside them at some kind of candle holder. Yeah. Except it's like this big. Okay? Now, when I say this big, I mean about 2 feet tall. Now, the reason this is the worst Christmas gift I've ever gotten, this was given to us, not wrapped, in a plain cardboard box, the box it shipped in with all of the shipping stuff on the side, some dings out of it. I mean, clearly it came from somewhere else. At the time this was given to us, we had a toddler. Now, I don't know if you know anything about toddlers, but the one thing you don't do is put big, heavy metal things with glass things on top that you set on fire anywhere in the house if you have a toddler.
Agreed.
That's why this has remained in the box. Now, Avery is 5. We also have cats now. Which complicates things. And I just don't want to take this thing out of the box and set it up because there's just no point. There's nowhere it can go. Now, if I was living on my own and I didn't have kids, maybe it would make a nice conversation piece. But I know my mother could not have put any thought into this gift. It had to have been, she's like, oh crap, I don't have a gift for them. Let me see. Oh, somebody gave me this. She also has little kids because she has my sister's kids. So she knows this. She must have been like, oh, I can't put this up because I have little kids. I'll give it to Hugh and tomorrow.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you like it?
No.
No. Oh, okay.
I also have little kids.
I know.
They should not be near
and cats.
Glass and fire.
What about you?
I fucking want it.
I asked Jack, but he shouldn't be around glass and fire.
No,
so.
No, Jack should definitely not be around that stuff.
What about Laura? Does Laura want it?
Laura's good. My kids are big, but I'm still good.
Laura's good. Her kids are big, but she's still good.
Is there an echo?
Yes.
Echo.
Can
echo.
We?
Yeah, you probably.
Okay.
It's typically how it works.
No matter where I am.
So, Corbs, what's the worst Christmas present you ever got? I almost said birthday present.
Does it have to be my birthday, my Christmas present?
I didn't specify, so no, it does not.
Alright. Well, the worst Christmas that I ever saw, given.
As long as it's real and not a quote from a movie.
Damn it! That was good last year. You have to
yes,
know.
It was.
That was.
The look on you guys' faces was priceless. Alright. Worst Christmas present I ever seen given was from my grandmother. God love her. 89 years old. She's fantastic. But she shops at the church.
Okay.
Okay. And she gets the stuff that she gives out from the church. Dollar. Stuff like that. She goes to church and buys clothes or whatever. So she gave her son, my father, a shirt. And on that note, Lana, what is the worst Christmas present you got?
So it was also from my grandmother, my father's dad. I mean, mom.
Hugh, something you want to tell us?
I think I need to be clued in to this. I mean, I understand I don't always... I know gender is fluid these days, but I don't know about that.
Sounds like a South Park episode.
So, like you said, she hasn't really put a whole lot of thought into them these days, and I don't know what year it was. It was probably last year. I think it was last year. But me and my sister got...
My sister and I.
Shut up. Got...
He's right, you know.
Look, this is not an English class, people.
Right?
Seriously.
I'm trying to tell a story.
Are you telling me how to parent my child?
No, shut the fuck up. I would never tell you how to parent your child. Never.
Come on, let the kid tell the story.
Shut up over there.
So I can tell my story.
Nobody wants to listen to your ego.
I can edit you out.
So be like, I wasn't here for 6 months again.
A lot of your story.
Exactly.
So, sorry, I got really distracted. But,
is there a squirrel back there? No,
it's
and she
Yoda's,
forgot where
Yoda's
she was in her story.
Eyes. And I did, but I'll figure it out.
Okay. So, Grandma, who was Grandpa, apparently.
Apparently. But, so she hasn't put much thought into her gifts anymore. And me and my sister and I got a bunch of kitty toys. Now, it's not even like little like dolls or anything. It was puzzles. You would put the cow into the cow thing and it would make a moo noise. We got several of those. And those little calculator things that you slide the little bits over.
An abacus?
Yes, an abacus.
Yeah, we got a couple of those. And I just... This was last year, so I was...
No, I don't think it was, because I actually had a conversation with her after this, saying, listen, I'd rather you didn't spend money on the girls if you're going to buy this stupid crap.
Well, I was over the age of 12.
Yeah, so definitely not age-appropriate toys.
No.
This is outstanding.
And, you know, I'm pretty sure we just kind of gave them to Avery. Maybe Ella kept them, but I didn't keep mine. I know that I...
I was like, ooh, an abacus. Hey, look, Dad, I can do the puzzle.
Exactly. So I just kind of, I don't know where they went, but that was the worst Christmas present I ever received. On to Paul.
On to me. Okay.
Ooh, he's fancy. He's got it written down and everything.
Yes. Yeah,
that's fancy?
That's because he can't remember.
Right.
Same.
All right. So, it was my junior year in high school, and I was having my first Christmas experience with a serious relationship. I was head over heels for this girl, and I had spoiled her for Christmas. I'd saved up and got her everything I knew that she wanted. I'd gotten her jewelry, a leather jacket. I was a dumb 16-year-old boy attempting to spoil the first girl who let me play with her no-no bits, repeatedly. So, we were at her folks' house, and I put the pile of gifts in front of her and urged her to begin opening. She moves through them all and woos and ahs and thanks me happily. She then reaches around the couch and pulls out a box for me. I open it up happily to find a Los Angeles Raiders t-shirt. Yeah, I'm dating myself there. That's when they're in LA. Now, let me rephrase that. she wrapped up and gifted me my Raiders t-shirt. Mine.
Wait, this was already your shirt?
That I already owned. It belonged to me, and she had worn it home from my house previously, wrapped it up, and gave it to me for Christmas.
All right. Now, that's a crappy gift, but I got to ask you this question. Because, you know, I can be a dick at times. How much did you spend on her?
Way too much.
All right.
Way too much at that point.
Was it that good?
At the time, I thought it was.
He's talking about her, you playing with her bits.
Yes, he is. I went with it.
You were there? Because you didn't seem like you were there.
I was there. I was there for that.
Wait, you were there for that to notice that?
He was holding the camera.
What is going on with you two?
I totally followed that whole conversation, which is disturbing.
So that was mine, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And you guys wonder why I'm fucked up.
No.
We stopped wondering a long time ago, pal. It's just kind of a foregone conclusion, it's par for the course now. I just come realize you're just a giant dick, and
that's about, yeah, accurate.
And not that you have one, but that you are one.
Yeah, careful.
I want to specify.
You know, he might just edit you out of this whole episode.
Right.
I think that's what he does anyways.
Right.
I wouldn't know.
I think he actually did that once. Just so we could compare, and we didn't actually hear a difference. So.
Right, we didn't notice.
Oh.
That
hurts.
But do you have anything else? Because we're actually closing in on the end of the show here.
I don't. I was thinking, though, you know what we never do these days? We always come with our segments.
Stay on topic.
Well, stay on topic as well. But we never just chat. We never just talk.
No, it's not as loose and free-form as it used to be. It's very segmented now. And
oh, you mean the show. Okay, all right. Yeah, it is very segmented now. And I thought you were talking about the ego again. Yeah, we never talk.
Why do I feel like the other shoe is still about to drop? Go ahead.
Nah, dude, why don't we just talk?
Sure, let's talk.
So... Everybody, come over here, because this is in the vein of Christmas.
I want to sit on my lap.
And, well, I kind of figured that...
I'm not being a dick about it. I'm sorry.
Let's get a chair. Let's get everybody sitting around.
What does it say about our friendship
that I'm immediately apprehensive about this?
Look, I got big legs.
Hi, Laura.
Hi, Hugh.
So, I was thinking, since it's Christmas, we could all do something together, and we could all chat. You know, maybe people will find that interesting, because, you know, when we started, we just kind of talked about stuff and free-formed it, and we still got to where we are. But I was thinking, also, maybe we should sing a song together. Maybe we should sing a Christmas carol.
You don't want that.
Something. Come on, anything.
You don't want that.
It's a Christmas party. How can it be a Christmas party with no singing?
Why do people always think they can sing at Christmas time?
I don't know, but you know
I know
what?
For a fact I can't
say, I know
singing.
My limitations. I don't
come on,
sing.
Come on.
I'm game.
Corbin looks like
game?
A deer in a headlight.
All right. Seriously.
Just a little jingle bells. One verse.
Oh, my God.
All of us together. Because it's Christmas, this is the Merry Geeky Christmas.
I'm thinking of something else. Just jingle bells style.
No, just... Together, on the count of three, everybody all together. Are you ready? Are you ready? Doesn't have to be loud. Come on. Come on.
Seriously.
Come on.
I could have stayed home for this.
Yeah, Paul's game. Don't let him be the only one.
Pause a little game. All right, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Get into character over there.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
Ready? On the count of three.
Seven.
One.
12. Seven. 12. Wait, you said just talk.
Just get it over with. You ready? On the count of three. Right. One, two, three. Jingle bell time. Guys, I got you to sing. I wasn't going to do that.
Okay, I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
Actually, you know what, Paul? When I started this, I really just wanted to talk.
Okay.
But you kind of forced me into coming up with something on the fly. So I'm like, you know what? Let's see if I can get everyone to sing.
You did. See?
Yeah.
It's a Christmas miracle.
I heard you sing. Don't you say you didn't.
Yeah, we all heard it.
I heard you.
Publicish.
I don't even sing in private. I know I'm that bad.
I sing in private. I sing in the shower.
No,
you sing to my privates. That's what you do.
Wait, what? Why are you bringing it up on the show, man?
That's what we talk about. That's what the show is about. No filter.
Singing to privates?
Singing to my privates. That's where I just dropped them and put them on the table.
Yeah, I wish you didn't, because I'm next to you.
And your daughter's here.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Might make it worse.
Well, she wouldn't care about
that's
that.
That's like a second afterthought. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
And my daughter's here.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh.
All right, so what are we doing for Christmas?
Nothing. Hanging out at home with the family.
Family coming over? You going family?
No, we're not going anywhere.
Okay. Just, I'm asking.
You?
Well, we are going to be having my mother-in-law over, and maybe a few, I don't think anybody else, probably just going to be us and the kids, over for Christmas dinner, which kind of, you know, brings me to something, and I don't know if anyone else has this experience, but when you host Christmas dinner, what happens? Okay, you go out, you spend an entire week's worth of grocery money on one meal.
Mm-hmm.
You spend the entire day cooking your butt off. You don't get to really enjoy it because you have so many things to do. You sit down, you get done with the meal, everybody's happy, and then what happens with that food that you spend an entire week's worth of pay on? No,
what? I'm Italian.
No.
I never have leftovers.
We have, like, there's going to be, like, six people there. There's no way they could eat all that food. I don't know if you have this, but my mother-in-law always wants to take everything home.
Yes.
I mean, that's the food that we plan on eating for the rest of the week. And it's like, oh, let me take this. And if there's other people, like, oh, yeah, they all want to take, like, 3 days' worth of leftovers home. No.
Do they bring their own containers to bring
They never do.
Yep.
Oh, my God. It's like, you know, I understand everybody wants, you know, if you want leftovers, cook your own meal at your own house, or at least, you know, be nice about it. Because I remember a couple years ago at my mom's house for Thanksgiving, she had some extra guests, some people who were friends or whatever. Actually, it was more like a clan, to be honest with you. We had to put like three extra tables together to get everybody there. And here's the thing. This is my mother, you know, her Thanksgiving dinner. When we got done eating, that clan, they all went to the table and packed up everything. There were no leftovers for the actual family. Do you remember that, Lana? Were you there?
I don't like them.
Okay. Well, yeah, exactly, you know. So, you know, that's what happens on Christmas, you know. You get there, and then everyone tries to take your food. You end up eating peanut butter and jelly and ramen for the next week until you get your next paycheck. And, you know, unless you're famous like Paul, and you're rolling in dough, and you can handle that.
Yeah. You roll in dough?
I do. I like the feel of it on my skin. All
right,
dude, don't ever eat cookies made in his house.
No.
You guys do know I brought cookies right there.
Is that his name?
That was good.
Yeah, it was.
Very good.
Okay, so let's make this really strange. Lana, what are you doing for Christmas?
Taking all his leftovers? No, I'm not taking his leftovers. We don't do Christmas at my mom's anymore, so we go and we spend the night at my grandmother's house. And I don't know, it's a lot. And there's a lot of cooking, and therefore, I am stuck doing 2 weeks worth of dishes in one night, which is fun. And I wake up at my cousin's house, and we all go over to my grandmother's and squish ourselves into the tiny living room, and we all open gifts, and then my dad comes and picks me up at 10, takes me to his house.
Then you do more dishes?
Yeah, to do more dishes.
I have a dishwasher, though, so.
Her name's Lana.
No, I have an actual dishwasher.
So does my mom.
Does she ever use it?
Yeah. Use it on the daily.
So you're actually calling that washing dishes? Because that's not actually washing dishes.
No. She doesn't let me wash the pots and pans in the dishwasher. I'm not allowed to put those in the dishwasher.
Okay, why?
Okay.
Because it's going to damage them.
Yeah, we get that too.
And I'm not.
They have the special coating on the stuff.
You have to wash the pans before you put them in the dishwasher.
And I'm not allowed to put like knives in the dishwasher. And when you're cooking, all you use is pots and pans.
Do we actually know that that's true? Because I put my pots and pans in the dishwasher all the time.
That's what I've always heard.
I don't know.
I put mine in the dishwasher.
Like, the handles?
It is true.
No, it's back in the day that they've always said that.
Which
was a Wednesday, you know.
Back in the day, yeah. You know, they say that kind of stuff about a lot of things,
yep.
Though, that might not be true.
He's like, yeah, Wednesday, of course.
That is back in the day.
I love that he just rolls his head. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Technically, you're not wrong.
This is true. He is not wrong. It's not right either, but he's not wrong.
Oh, I'm definitely not right.
Laura, what are you doing for Christmas?
This year is going to be interesting because my house is extremely small. And my sister has recently had to move because her house was on a sinkhole. So my entire family is coming to my house for Christmas, which my house fits the five people that live there. But my entire family is my sister, my brother-in-law, my nieces and nephews, and it's kind of like Lana said, we're going to all squeeze into my living room and cause a bunch of chaos.
Cause a bunch of cats?
Chaos.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
Oh, I thought she said that they were going to get Chinese for Christmas dinner.
No, I'm Italian. That's not allowed.
No, what, do you guys have meatballs and gravy?
Sauce.
Sauce. Sauce, gravy. I'm not even sure which one is right anymore.
It's sauce. I'm Italian. It's
yeah, and the next Italian I meet is going to tell me you're wrong, so
and,
screw y'all.
I eat macaroni, not pasta. There's a difference in there, too, which drives me crazy.
Wait. Do you call things that aren't elbows macaroni?
All of it's macaroni.
Actually, I don't care.
Well, spaghetti, and lasagna noodles are lasagna.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
macaroni.
But no, spaghetti can't be macaroni. There's something else called macaroni. Spaghetti's pasta. It doesn't need three names.
Right. It's macaroni.
No.
You're thinking elbow macaroni?
Yes.
Okay. I'm with you because I don't agree with what she's saying over here at all.
That's just wrong.
But you're
can we edit him out? I'm highly entertained by the chorus of macaronis. Because if you think about it, that's a little bit of a strange word. And just, Laura's going macaroni, my dad's saying macaroni, Corbs is saying macaroni.
New catchphrase, boom, macaroni.
There it is.
Hashtag.
Boom, macaroni.
Or, you know, how about on a t-shirt, spaghetti does not need three names.
I like that too.
Yeah.
We can go t-shirt crazy.
Do you call it elbow macaroni because it says elbow macaroni on the box?
I call it macaroni because it says macaroni on the box. And because it's always been
so referred to as macaroni. You call it all the macaroni?
I've never
call it
seen
all pasta.
See, that's not right.
See, it's all pasta.
In my house, it's fucking right.
I've never seen that. What you're saying, I've never seen it on a box, in a restaurant, or anywhere else. So that makes me suspect.
I thought you were going to go Dr. Seuss right there.
Of my information.
Yeah. But she's Italian.
I thought you were going to go Dr. Seuss. I didn't see that on a box.
She knows all.
On a box? In box? I thought you were going Dr. Seuss.
No, Laura, can we just go back and count how many times you've used the phrase, I know, I'm Italian.
We can't count that high.
It's sauce. I know, I'm Italian. It's macaroni. I know, I'm Italian.
Yeah.
But I'm not Laura? Italian enough to eat all the seven fishes on Christmas Eve.
Are you Italian?
No, I'm Scottish.
All right, cool.
I'm confused.
I'm over it.
But I'm not macaroni, so.
Right. So that's my
Christmas.
Fantastic. Hey.
All right.
Oh, okay.
So he misses out because he's asleep.
All right.
We were going to have Jason Randall on, but he's sleeping on the couch.
He might be waiting for us to wake him up since he did go to sleep so that, you know, I could go eat lunch and we could take a break.
He's like snoring.
Like he's...
Oh.
Yeah.
How are we going to... So, all right. That works.
I do have a Christmas-themed WTF file.
Really?
Yes, I do.
Nobody cares.
It's about a fat man breaking into your house in the middle of the night.
Don't lie.
No.
We'll just edit you out.
So you haven't caught me yet.
Really, I'm going to edit out of this episode. Jesus Christ. What?
We're rolling into the WTF now.
Why?
Because I said so.
Who are you?
I'm the guy that pays for and edits this.
Apparently I'm getting edited out. What?
Are we ready?
No.
Corbs, right. Are you drunk?
We probably should have been. That'd make it even better.
Yes.
Not you. Wow. Underage. There's laws against that.
Like, I get to like watch all of you. Like I've seen you buzzed on mic and it was pretty fucking funny.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Different
that
show,
was,
but that's very true.
That was hilarious.
I've never seen you drunk.
Yeah, right.
Never.
It used to be a weekly basis.
Never. I'm stick to that in court.
Okay.
I take the fifth. Amendment, that is. Stop looking at me weird.
So I actually like to call this the Christmas tree catastrophe.
The what?
The Christmas tree catastrophe.
All right.
Being the Christmas episode and all, I figured I should keep this appropriately themed, and I have to reach way back in the old memory banks for this one. I was around 9 years old, I think, and we were going to pick out our tree. Grew up out in the country, so our options were pretty limited. There was a rustic garden center kind of place that does all the decorations and knickknacks as well as trees and wreaths in Elbridge. And that's where we'd go every year. My mom and my grandma would take me along, and we would have to check out the entire place before we could get our tree. Every time. Nothing in this place ever seemed to change year after year, but we still had to inspect everything. So if you can imagine me as a 9-year-old, obnoxious and undiagnosed ADD whirlwind.
ADD, same thing.
Nice.
I know, it's a real stretch, right?
Wait, was your D&D name Paul the All-Powerful?
Yes. So yeah, I'd start to get restless. This year was no exception. I made it through all the perusing without an issue, but something set me off crazy while we were going up and down the aisles of trees. They had all the trees set up in rows on top of wooden pallets, and just like the rest of the trip, we had to go up and down every row until we found that one perfect tree. Well, four rows deep, I decide that enough is enough, and I start scouting ahead. Well, holy moly. Yeah. At 9, I wasn't quite cursing like a Tourette's patient yet. Anyway, I see the perfect Showin's tree 2 rows over. I excitedly point it out and decide to race over there, right through the middle of the pallets. I leap onto the pallet and dash across into the next aisle, deftly maneuvering the trees and people. Don't break stride as I hop up and onto the next pallet. My feet land with a loud crack as I snap the plank and fall through the pallet. Lose my balance, pitch sideways into the tree, causing a domino effect, and the entire row of trees goes crashing spectacularly to the snowy gravel along with me. I spend the next hour picking up trees. What the fuck was I thinking?
You know, I'm guessing that it's that kind of behavior that led to most of your college misadventures too, huh?
You have no idea.
A little bit of an idea. I haven't heard them all, though.
So, yeah, that was my youth.
So did your grandma make you pick them up? Was she like, oh, you clean
they
this up?
They forced me to pick them up, yes. I had to help.
I have the question.
Of course you do.
The tree that you picked out.
Did it survive?
Did you buy it?
I don't remember that, actually. I don't know if that was the tree we got or not, but I...
That's the main question. If you picked out the tree and you broke the plank and the trees...
I don't
if you didn't buy that tree, then it's a better start.
I don't think we made it that standing. One. Right, that was left was the sad Charlie Brown tree. Before we end the show, do you want to try out a new segment?
I am always up for trying out new segments. Can we keep our clothes on for this one? I didn't like the last one we tried.
I was originally going to call this Paul's Impulse Control, but I think it works better as Out of My Head. Maybe we'll repurpose that name.
Okay.
I do have a little intro for this.
What are we pointing at? Andrew. Oh, look at that. He's going to show up just in time to end the show. How about that?
Great. Never going to know.
I thought it might be helpful to get some of that nonsense that bounces around in my noggin out on display. It's typically stuff that I have second thoughts about saying out loud or acting on, so I thought that I might share it with you guys. It could get awkward or offensive. You've been warned. I'm not giving you the title on this one.
Okay.
Walking through the city, and I glance up at the person walking ahead of me. He was a young-looking African-American guy, and he was wearing a jacket emblazoned with the words Negro League with the dates 1904 to 1937 on it. I snicker to myself and begin to wonder, what would happen if I were to walk around the city wearing that jacket? I'd then play it out in my head. You know, as one would do.
Yeah.
It's me strutting through the streets of downtown Syracuse, proudly wearing the jacket and a basketball uniform. Shorts, jersey, tube socks pulled all the way up. 70s-style headband the whole night. The fantasy logically ends with me being accosted and brutally murdered by a justifiably angry mob of highly offended social justice warriors.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm not sure. I think Paul had this impulse to throw a new segment out there, and he couldn't stop himself.
Impulse control.
Exactly.
Boom science.
Oh, shit.
Oh, crap.
Look who shows up just for the end of the show.
Really?
Yes.
End of the show?
We're literally wrapping up.
Wow.
You did say you'd be here at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, unfortunately, things being the way they are, 1 o'clock became...
2:20.
2:20.
Yeah. Someone move over. Let the man down in the microphone for a minute at least. Jesus.
That thing that you're talking about, that things becoming.
Oh, no, are you going to abandon me?
It's called time.
Time.
Time. Just in case you're wondering.
T- time is not on his side? Is that where we're going?
Time is not of an essence.
You know, I got to say, by the way, I'm really disappointed in both of you earlier when I brought up the new segment about DuckTales and nobody said, ooh, I even put that.
I did over there.
Let me show this to you, what I actually wrote here.
Nice to see you again, sir.
Oh, I'm hitting the keyboard.
Yeah, that's what happens when you lean things on the keyboard.
Ah. Okay, my tablet just went absolutely batshit crazy. Stop. Now, I really have to show this to you because you're going to laugh.
Everybody does.
2017 reboot of Disney's DuckTales. Somebody say, oh, woohoo.
Oh,
that's always good for it.
If I tried that shit, it would be like a little
I actually, I thought for sure somebody was going to do that.
You know what? It didn't
I mean,
even
Laura
occur to
says
me.
She did it from across
I
the
did.
Room.
I'm sorry.
But the problem
does
is.
Does that help?
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
Wow.
The story of my life.
It doesn't help. She's not very helpful, apparently.
No. So, someone give this man the floor for a minute. Grab a microphone, sir. Come on.
He wants to lay on the floor.
There's enough of the floor.
You might
want to
get
around.
Closer. It's a small mic stand.
I think there's enough of the floor to go around.
Yes. How are you, sir?
I am fine and dandy.
Good. Good, good, good. Let's give him something to do.
Well, you know, I saw a mop in the back, and there's a spot over there that could really use some touch-ups.
Is that the one that I threw up on the other night?
Yeah.
Out of excitement. Yeah. Rogue One.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Andrew, what's the worst Christmas gift you've ever been given?
We're gonna do rapid fire on him, do all the homework, aren't we?
Rapid fire, wow. Worst Christmas gift ever. I'm going to have to say the one year I hit 17, and Dad gave me a carton of cigarettes and said, smoke up, Monty.
That's lies. That's a movie reference.
I thought it was, too. That's okay.
Smoke up, Johnny. Breakfast Club.
Yes.
Okay.
You know.
We can't fault him for doing a John Hughes reference, though, either.
No, but I'm just starting to wonder, because he looks frustrated. Maybe it's because no one's ever actually given him a Christmas gift.
I do get him, but I kind of, if I get anything, you know, it's not the, this present is crap. It's more like, hey, thank you. You at least thought of me. I appreciate that. So,
well, make sure you listen back to this episode.
Yeah. I don't really see any bad Christmas gifts. I really don't.
He's afraid to commit to it. He's afraid somebody will actually listen to this and be mad.
I'm so over that. But.
There's got to be something that somebody gave you once.
Let him go with it. If that's his philosophy, that's fine. That's good.
It's the thought that counts. I mean, you get people saying, oh, you know, it's only a gift card. I feel crappy about it. Dude, that's like the best ever. Because I don't have to, you know, wade through, you know, all these, you know, quote, you know, stupid presents and whatnot. I actually have a gift card that I can do what I want with it. I can get what I want, not what you think I want. So.
I agree with that. Cash or gift cards are great.
Awesome.
Yes.
That's all I want for my birthday.
Don't think of that way.
Dad. It's all you, buddy.
You know, I thought about it because we thought we're looking at stocking stuffers and we were thinking about getting like a $5 card to Dunkin' Donuts just as a stocking stuffer to go with other stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I don't even know if she can buy one of her drinks with $5, though.
Probably not.
Depends on where I'm going with it.
Can I ask you? You're not supposed to tell her that you're going to get her a $5 gift card.
Are you questioning my parenting?
Yes.
Again.
Parenting failed you.
They'd be like
I do what
taking
I want.
My kid to Toys R Us when I buy his Christmas gifts. Oh, wait.
No, I said we were thinking about doing it, which means we're not.
Which means we're not. Okay.
You're not supposed to tell these things.
All right.
She's maybe we need to eat.
I understand that you think that my parenting skills are incorrect. I will point out the fact that I have a head start on you because I have three of them.
That's true.
And once you get to this point, maybe you'll understand.
All right. Fair enough.
He survived this long. Obviously, he's doing something right. Exactly.
It's different with the oldest teenager. You know, I don't think I would necessarily say that to Ella. You know, everybody has to be handled differently. But she's like an adult now, so
right.
Or close enough. You know what that's like.
Close enough.
Yes, I do. Yeah. Kids are. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say she's probably kind of like Jessa. No. I see how you.
I see a few parallels. Yeah.
Well, also, I remember when we back when we lived together, I saw how you parented her. And I don't know, that might have even, like, formed a little bit of how I approach Lana now, because...
I'm sorry.
Well, no, I loved the way that you and her were good friends. Mm-hmm. And you made instead of a relationship based on...
I'm the boss.
It was a relationship based on respect and friendship.
Well, I mean, we actually do go through, if there were arguments, and a lot of people would say, oh, you never argue with your kid, lay down the law, and it'll nip, fights in the future in the bud. I don't agree with that. If I want the kid to do something and she wants to do something else, I will give her an opportunity to state her case and to, logically tell me why her idea is better. Ultimately, I will still lay down the law, but it'll give her a little grounding in discourse.
I totally thought you were going to say, I don't really believe in there being bad kids. And
no, that's not true. There are little bastards out there.
Yes.
We've kind of sidetracked GeekPod, though.
Yeah.
Paul's over there looking like, I don't know what to do here.
It's like, what happened?
The show was supposed to end, so...
It's not about Paul, though. We're talking about...
That's where you're wrong.
I'm never wrong.
No, there you go again.
Because he's Italian.
Thank you, Lana.
Oh, that's great.
Do we want to hit him with the other homework assignments quick? Put him on the spot?
Sure, go for it.
Favorite movie to watch at Christmas time? Doesn't have to be a Christmas movie.
Die Hard.
Nice.
See? Not the only one.
Then what was...
Oh, I agreed with you? Yeah.
Can I change my answer? No. Well, that was it, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Why did it seem like there was more than that?
Because you talked an awful lot between all of those segments.
That's what I do?
Yeah.
That's how you roll?
Well, that's how the outline that you sent me before this one said,
Paul,
book club Paul, and that's the first draft look, and I said, hey, I texted you back and said, hey, you forgot the rest of us?
Oh, yeah. That's, it happens.
That's neither here nor there.
I'm just going off the focus group from my fans, our fans.
Wow. Freudian slip. Now we no longer matter. Great, thank you.
Wait.
I've realized that. Since I've been sitting here, I've been told I'm going to be edited out of the show. Apparently, I don't no longer matter.
Well, there's that 5 minutes in that one with the thing.
There was, that's true.
That one time where there was that thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you were there.
I'm always there.
Except
for Thursday.
Yeah.
Jimmy, you were there.
But that one hasn't actually been released, so we don't know. That might end up being one of the lost tapes.
I could edit myself into that. Not a bad idea.
Yeah, just stop it there, record. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Stop, edit.
Use the same clip, everyone. I know what I'm doing.
Oh, that would be so funny.
Hold on. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That way I can isolate that clip and I have to do no more work.
There you go.
So. All right, and I think on that note, unless Andrew, do you have anything else you'd like to add for this Christmas season? Anything to say to the Legion?
Rogue One was fucking amazing.
And you will stop right there. I still haven't gotten to see it.
Me either.
So.
That's all I was going to say. All
right. And on that note, Merry Christmas, bitches.
This has been a Geek Pod Network production. If you're enjoying us, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and follow us everywhere. On Twitter, at GeekPod, G33KPOD. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/GeekPod. Want to get in touch with us? Email us at contribute@geekpod.com.